Brothers and sisters, it's really a privilege to be with you this morning. It's one big adventure for us to be around. We had no idea exactly what was coming. We had some appointments, we had written some names, and we made some connections with internet and with emails where we could stay and what we could do. But it was just names written and some testimonies of people, but people we never met. And now we are meeting, enjoying the fellowship. And it's really a blessing of the Lord. You can switch on the PowerPoint, please. 2 Corinthians, I will go with you through that verse, those verses later. And the theme of this message is God's instruments. According to 2 Corinthians, please, the next. There we go. I just wanted to introduce myself a little bit before we start. This is my lovely wife next to me. Marjolein is her name. And we come from indeed from the Netherlands, and we are happy to serve on the world team in Suriname Jungle since April 2012. Apart from that, I'm also responsible for some pioneer ministry of world team in the Americas. I'm connected with some new work in Manaus, Brazil, and in Peru, Lima. Then next to that, we also want to reach out to Muslims in Trinidad, and whatever the Lord is bringing to us. And the other side of it, we have expressed our intention as world team around the globe to grow from a 340-50 till 500 missionaries in the coming 5 years. We are declining because many of our missionaries get into their pension age. And we said, is that the end? No, we want to reach out more. So let's set a goal, 500. So if any of you feels the call and needs a mission organization, connect with me, please. We have a sending office in Toronto, here in Canada. That's World Team Canada. We have a sending office in the United States, in Philadelphia neighborhood. And we have a sending office in Australia. That's why we are World Team. Our international director is in Paris, and we work around the globe. So, if you have a call, if you feel the Lord is calling you, and you need a mission organization, connect with us. Okay, next one, please. Suriname. Suriname is above, it's north and south. It's in South America on the north part, so we have both cold and heat. Well, no, it's hot. It's tropical. And we are living together with the Guyana Indians down south, and for you, it's down south on northeast, southeast. That's where the Guyanas live. And we are serving with that tribe with an existing church since the 50s last century, so more than 60 years already, with a local leadership in different churches. And I will say, estimate 80-85% of the people are born again Christians. On the other part, in the south of Suriname, we have the Trio Indians, same figure, and the Lord is blessing the church among the Trio and the Guyana Indians tremendously. We are now facing the challenge for the next generation. And last year, we had a tremendous year in which the Lord really revealed himself. Many people got saved, many people got delivered from evil spirits, and we saw a growing in depth and in magnitude and multitude of the church. Our church building has been rebuilt several times. Last year we had to extend it twice as big, and it's still full. It's wonderful to see it happening. Around now, along the river, the people are building 6 new churches in different villages because they said, we live as Christians in a village, and there are many around us that are not yet. We want to reach them as well. So it's tremendous to see this thing happening. Next one, please. We want to speak about being an instrument in the hand of God. And I just gave you this picture. A tool or an instrument in God's hand. And you see quite some different stuff there. I could have brought in a lot more. But it's bigger or it's smaller. Whatever it is, for whatever use, a tool can be used in God's hands. It can be an instrument to bless and to grow his kingdom. Well, perhaps you feel yourself to be a hammer, or a pair of scissors, or just a clipper, or whatever it is, or a pin to put a paper on the wall. Never think too small of yourself. It might be something very important. The pin is used to put something on the wall that everybody needs to read. I'm just a small pin, but that pin holds a document of the Lord. Wow, I would like to be that small pin. Anyway, just an impression for a thought. Next one, please. I would like to read with you, it's small letters, Acts 9:15. And Ananias answered, The Lord said to him, oh no, I start with the verse 13. Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much harm he has done to your saints in Jerusalem, and here he has authority from the chief priest to bind all who call on your name. But the Lord said to him, go, for he is a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel, for I will show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake. Who is this about? Paul. At that time, Saul. Saul, who had to become Paul. But he was going to be used by the Lord as an instrument in his hand. And it's called a chosen vessel. A chosen vessel of mine. If you become a vessel of the Lord, the Lord chooses, in this term, Saul, to use him to bear his name before Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel. Wow! That's something. And look at Romans 6:13. And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. We can present ourselves, behave that way, offer ourselves to God to be made our members, all of ourselves, as instruments of righteousness. And the question of this morning is, do you want to be such an instrument? Do you want to be used as such a vessel? Are you available for the Lord that he can use you? If you think I'm small, just a pin, can he use you as a pin? If you think of yourself, I'm big, like a pair of scissors, huge, can he use you as a pair of scissors to make a nice cut somewhere else? Are you available in the Lord's hands? Next, please. Well, 2 Corinthians 1. 8, verse 1. Moreover, Paul writes, brethren, we make known to you the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. Paul writes here about the churches of Macedonia. Which churches do we think of? Show us the next one. We have some verses in the Bible that refer to those churches. Romans 15:26, for it pleaded those from Macedonia and Achaia to make a certain contribution for the poor among the saints who are in Jerusalem. So there in Romans 15, Macedonia and Achaia are mentioned. Or in Philippians 4:15, now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel when I departed from Macedonia, no church shared with me concerning giving and receiving, but only you. So in both verses, this Macedonia area is being mentioned. Next picture shows the map of Macedonia in Greece, present-day Greece. And it shows several of the trips, the missionary trips that Paul made and his group. And we see Macedonia there on top. And we see Philippi, Troas, Thessalonica, Berea, Corinth, Athens is all there. Macedonia is Philippi, Thessalonica, and Berea. And Philippi is Thessalonica, and Achaia is Corinth. So you see here Achaia, downstairs, and up there Macedonia. And that's the area where the different churches are situated that Paul has started. Next one, please. Moreover, brethren, we make known to you the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded in the riches of their liberality. For I bear witness that according to their ability, yes, and beyond their ability, they were freely willing, imploring us with much urgency that we would receive the gift and the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. Now, there might be some people here that think, oh, it's a sermon about giving. It's money again. It's just like all during the week you go to a shop, it's all about money. Now we are in church, it's about money again. Wait a minute, is this a shop? What is happening here? Well, in a way it is. Because that's exactly what Paul is aiming at in this message. But there's more than that. The money side is only a small portion. Only a small portion of what he is meaning, what he is telling us. except especially that giving was a special outcome of something that had happened in a person's heart. There was a connection between the giving and the change of her heart of a person that became a child of God, a Christian. Giving showed their heart's condition. It's like if someone is in the hospital and you decide to pay his or him or her a visit, it shows something of your heart's condition. You don't pay it a visit in a hospital because you want to pick up the sickness of the person. Is it? You're not going to bring him your health. How can you do that? But you want to pay attention. You want to share God's love. You want to show your concern. You want to pray with the person and bring him together for the throne of God. That's sharing the love of Christ. That's why you go out there and visit that person. Or when you send him or her a postcard and send a message. I'm praying for you. I'm thinking about you. When you really want to be connected and involved with someone, it shows something that's happening in your heart concerning that person. That the believers in Macedonia are willing to give was an outcome of the working of God's mercy in their hearts. How they reach out to the believers in Jerusalem. They never met these people. They never even know who they were. They might have heard some names from Paul or his fellow people that were coming along with him in the mission trips. But they only have heard about them. They never met. There were not even pictures they could show, like we can do today. And then still they said, we want to be involved, we are concerned, and want to bless them, and what can we do? We can write a postcard. We can send someone along. But let's give them also something that they can really go to the shops and buy some food, because that's what they need. Wow. They were a tool in the hands of God, blessing the church in Jerusalem. And then he continues. Verse 5, next one, please. Is the button next to that? Yes, please. Oh, this one does, and that one doesn't. That's strange. You see technique? Wow. No problem. Okay. And not only we. Where is it? Not only we as we had hoped, but they first gave themselves to the Lord and then to us by the will of God. What happened with the believers in Macedonia even goes beyond the expectation of Paul. He said, wow, he was flabbergasted what God was doing with the people there. Even Paul didn't expect to be that big. And he recognized a huge measure of giving themselves to the Lord and to him. And he also points out to Titus, verse 18 and 20, and another two brothers. And he writes this letter to support their coming and to tell them, hey, he is coming on my behalf. So we urge Titus that as he had begun, so he would also complete this grace in you as well. Next one. Not only as we had hoped, but they first gave themselves by the will of God. But as you abound in everything, in faith, speech, and knowledge, and in all diligence, and in your love for us. And the next one, please. You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't this something? Several aspects that Paul is writing to these people, writing to the Corinthians, to tell them, wow, I'm so pleased to see how these things are taking place in your hearts, in your church, in your lives, to bless the people of Jerusalem. This is what it is all about. Next one, please. Not only as we had hoped, but they first gave themselves to the Lord. That's the major point. And then to us, by the will of God. It's about surrendering to God. That's what it's all about. That's what Paul is talking about. They gave themselves to God with everything they had, including their money. But it's just only one aspect. Their whole heart, their life, their whole existence. We show you another text, the next one please, about surrendering to God. Philippians 2. About surrendering to God. I read from verse 4. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. And then it comes. That's what happened with the Macedonians. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. What the Macedonians are doing is following the example of Christ Jesus. That's what they are doing. They follow the Lord, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of man, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death on the of the cross. That's what it's all about. And that's what is the example that the people, the church people, the believers in Macedonia were following. That's what Paul recognized. That's why he was flabbergasted. That's why he said, wow, this is great. He saw the church really growing up to follow the example of Jesus. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. He was writing it to the Philippians and he saw it happening. Or the next one. Romans, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Yes, to recognize God's will and to let that grow in yourself, in your will, in your life, and to make you to die of all things of the flesh and to accept and grow and expand in all the things of the Holy Spirit. That's a new life in Christ, isn't it? That's what Paul writes about to the Romans. But if that's so, you must want to think about it, examine yourself about it, and get along with it. It asks for choices in our lives. In our family, we many times, raising our kids, we have 3 kids, 1 son, 2 daughters, we made jokes about choices. Oh, choices, choices, choices. But it was always a sort of a trigger word or a magic word to say, hey, what's happening in your life? If we were talking about things that went wrong or different or we had questions about, so choices. And it always was a way of talking together and communicating. Is this what you're choosing to do or what you did last night or did not? Something to glorify the Lord with or not? Or are you again arguing about something like in between, which is not there? Well, it's hard sometimes to keep on talking on things. So just mentioning the word choices made a whole clear picture of, oh yeah, of course. Choices. The renewing of your mind. I need to have that every day. My mind needs renewing every day. Even more than my stomach needs food every day. I like it. But the renewing of my mind, I don't always like that much. There's some sort of a natural resistance in me that doesn't always want to bow down before the Lord to have him renew my mind. You remember? You recognize that? Sometimes you're in denial. No, that's not for me, Lord. That's for that person over there. But you know the trick. One finger is pointing and 3 are pointing at yourself. You know that one? And it's true. The renewing of your mind. It is about our mind. My mind is fast. In terms of computers, I know about the starting of the computer. It was XT and an 80 somewhere way back. I don't even know. It was far away back. Now we have, I don't even know how you say it right now, how fast computers are getting. Well, even the fastest computer is not as fast as my mindset. It's incredible. I'm a picture thinker. Well, can you imagine if I see something or someone, I can make a picture so fast in a way that I think, I don't want to go that way sometimes. Lord, renew my mind. Clean it, Lord. My thoughts. Whatever. I need it. And I'm so happy that the Bible is so clear about it and honest about it that I'm not the only one. Well, perhaps that one was one person, and now me, well, that's still two. If I'm the only one today, could be, but I don't think so. This is what the Lord tells us. This is also how he reaches out to us. This is also how he comforts us. And he says, you can rely on me. I want to help you to do that, to transform you, to make you new, a person looking like me. Incredible. I tell you something, I'm walking with the Lord for many years, and I still need that renewing. And he is there to do it. Next, every time and again we read things, and we've been reading things about our mind. That's how you think and how you behave. And we always know very well to behave that others will like us, you know. You want me to behave? I will smile. I'm such a nice guy. But you don't know how I think. I might think, oh, these ugly people. But I say, hi. Isn't that something? I don't think it, don't worry. But so the internal thing of ourself, our mind, our spirit, our soul, that who we are internal, doesn't always have to be the same that see people on the outside. Well, behavior is something you cannot play around with for a long term. If you want to speak with someone and meet with someone for 10 minutes, he can behave. But if you go along with someone for 3 days, then he'll give up pretending after a few minutes or half an hour or 3 minutes or whatever, and you'll find out who the real person is. Let alone if you stay with someone for 20 years or longer. And that's why it's so good to be a church, brothers and sisters, to get along together and to see each other in all kinds of circumstances, for better and for worse, also in the church. When you're poor, you've lost your job, then how do you behave? Do you trust the Lord? If you have your party and celebration, and it's great. But if you're sick or ill, or get older and weak, or you have pain all the time, how is it then? Well, that's a mind-setting thing. And that goes much, much deeper. Surrender to God has to do with surrendering your mind, your internal being. Next one, please. I found this verse in Luke 2. I think it's remarkable. I read it from the beginning, from that chapter, pericope. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. Pay attention. There is never a thing in the Bible that's without a reason. This is what God said. Hey, the Holy Spirit was with him. Listen. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. So he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms, blessed God, and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all people, a light to bring revelations to the Gentiles, and the glory of your people Israel. A And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him, Jesus. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, "Behold, this child is destined for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign which will be spoken against. Yes, a sword will pierce through his own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed." He was after our mind. Not the outward appearance, but our heart's condition. How we think, how we behave, how we process things, what we believe. It will be revealed. In the end of times, everyone's heart will be revealed. That's not a threat, that's a promise to comfort us that everything will be open in the light of God before his throne. Next. And that brings us back to that tool, that instrument in God's hand. With the question, which tool would you want to be? With which tool would God want to work today? With what kind of job he would like to accomplish with you as his tool today? Well, a tool that's available. If you look for this small pin to put the paper on the wall and you can't find it, you have to go to the shop to buy new ones. You know it's somewhere in the drawer. Oh yes, here they are. Well, are you available for the Lord if he needs a pin right now? They say, "Lord, me please. Help, I'm here." A tool that gives itself voluntarily to be used by the Lord. "Lord, here I am. Use me. Send me. Here I am. Help, Lord, please. I want to." A tool that is ready to be used must be cleansed. It must be clean. It must be good to pick up. Or you want the Lord to, well, excuse me, to get dirty hands if he picks you up. Then he chooses another one. So it must be clean. It must be ready. But also, if this pin is there, it also must be sharp. It must be ready to be used. It must be, you know, that is well connected. Suppose you want to use a printer and it's not connected. It has to be connected. Where to? To the power of the Holy Spirit. Abiding in God. When we want to have the same attitude as the Lord Jesus Christ, then the same things that are important for him should be important for us. Think by yourself, for yourself, if that's really the case, and what might be needed to be changed in order to get there. I'll give you some. I want to glorify God in and through my life. That's what I want. That's what Jesus said, John 17. Jesus spoke these words, lifted up his eyes to heaven, and said, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son also may glorify you." Do you want to glorify the Lord, God, with your life? Like Jesus wanted to do that? Is that your desire? Wow. I long for the salvation of sinners. Luke 19. "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." That was his desire. If you want to go the way Jesus went, if you want to be like he is, are you concerned with people around you, sinners that are getting lost? Or, I choose humbleness, obedience, according to Jesus. Philippians 2. "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Jesus Christ, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant, and coming in the likeness of man, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. If you want to be like Jesus, this is part of the deal. Or, I make room in my heart for mercy. Matthew 9:36. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them, because they were weary and scattered like sheep having no shepherd. That was his heart's condition, looking at those people outside. And I know to pray in dependency of God. So he himself often withdrew into the wilderness and prayed. Luke 5:16. Just a handful of aspects that the Bible reveals about the heart condition of Jesus. If you want to be like him, do you recognize these aspects as a desire in your own heart, in your own life? And are you going to follow them up? You want to grow in there. You want to not achieve it, but receive them from God. Because he, with his Holy Spirit, will pour this out in your life. And do you see the changes? Having been able to serve in Holland as a pastor for 9 years, one of the most privileged aspects of my job, so to speak, was to have contact with older people. People that have lived longer than I have. That had so much more experience in finding a way to do these things with God and to grow in this grace of the Lord. And many times, I spoke with an older lady once, I remember, well, I visited her several times. She's with the Lord now, but she had been a merchant. She had been on the marketplace. She had been had a big shop, and now it was an old lady in an elderly home, and nobody thought to pay any attention. I said, wow, I would like to go there every 2 weeks and sit with her and talk about her life and how she was full of Christ and how she has learned so much in her life about being a merchant, making a lot of money, but in the meantime, evaluating to a person full of the love of Christ. She was not sitting there with all her money, but with all her God-given love and grace. And it was a beautiful moment, time and again, to sit with her. I came to help her, no, to take care of her, no, to look after her, yes, but she was looking after me. I was filled with joy when I left, time and again. And I shared it with many people. If you want to be blessed, look who has gray hair and visit them. Oh, I have two. I'm sorry. People who have lived longer have learned more most of the time. Most of the time. Most of the time. Next one, please. Yeah. So, in all these things, it's to become like Christ. 1 Corinthians 2:10-12. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows, the things of a man, except the spirit of the man which is in him. Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now, we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. Ooh. If you want to become like Christ, if you want to live like Christ, if you want to give yourself as an instrument in his hands, we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. Romans 8:9. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. You have the Spirit of God in you. If that's a promise from the Word, if that's a promise from the Spirit, if that's a promise from God to us, examine yourself to ask yourself, is that indeed the case in my life? And if that's so, although many things around us will distract our attention from him, pay attention to him. Next one. They first gave themselves to the Lord and then to us by the will of God. That's what Paul emphasizes in 2 Corinthians 8 in verse 5. The churches of Macedonia tell him, ask him, shout out, let us join you in this collection, in this gathering of finances and support for the church of Jerusalem. They don't do that because they are so wealthy. Materially speaking, they're poor. They didn't have money to just say, well, oh, well, okay, I have $10, I give you 10 cents. They had 10 cents and they gave $10. Huh? That's what happened. They don't do this because of their wealth. They do this with a material poor position. They don't have, but they want to connect in giving. What do they give then? They give what they have. And the things they give are valuable, much more worth than the little money they have. In these churches, it appears they have a spiritual wealth that brings Paul to this huge talking about him. They have a secret. They have found out. They have discovered a secret that when they give themselves to the Lord, God provides everything they need. And that goes beyond their financial support. And that's the tools God loves to work with. Next one. Sometimes I like to go to some tools shop. How do you call it? Appliances or whatever. Hardware. That's what it is. Hardware. When I was a pastor in Holland, I spent so many hours with people and with the Lord and with the Word. I said, "What?" And a colleague of mine, he said, "What's your hobby?" I said, "Well, reading, but it's not. I'm doing it all the time, but I don't know." You need a hobby. You need to have time to put your mind something else and to empty everything that. Hey, that's a good idea. So what did I do? Before we were living in Suriname, and we drove an old Land Rover that was that old. I had to repair it every day. And then say, hey, I like to work on a car. So what we did, I bought an old Land Rover. My wife wasn't that happy the same time I did it. But anyway, I bought a very old, 50 years old, very old Land Rover. And it was somewhere in a barn with a farmer. He said, I want to get rid of it. Okay. And it didn't work. So I'll make it work. It's my hobby. I'm going to do it. It took me one day to make it work. So that's not a hobby. Come on. But it was a very old Land Rover. It didn't look like nice, but the engine ran and I could drive it. I said, uh-oh. Let's make it into a hobby again. So I just dismantled the whole thing. I took everything off. Everything. That's the nice thing of a Land Rover. You can take it all apart. There was only the chassis and all the parts around. It took me 3 years to renew the whole thing. Everything that needed renewal, I renewed. It was a 50-year-old brand new Land Rover. Sprayed it. It was beautiful. I drove it once or twice. Nice. But it's not a nice car to drive. It's a nice car to work on. So I sold it. Took me some time to sell. We went already back to Suriname, and someone else sold it for me, and we could buy a car in Suriname for the money I received. So that was great. But I needed a lot of tools. I went to those shops many times to get my stuff. I love to find the right tool for the right job. I made so many things in this car I had never done before. I need a tool for this. How can I do that? Well, finding that out was great. But yet there are so many tools. There's so many different tools for different jobs. It's incredible. Well, I'm a handy guy, you can see. But I really like this. Looking at that, next one, please. The question is a tool available? Is it in that shop? If not, I go to another shop. I need that tool for that specific job to work on my car. The same thing is for us in the kingdom of God. The Lord needs so many tools for so many jobs. They're all different. Are you available for Him to be used in building His part of the kingdom right here, right now? With your neighbor, with your colleague, with your daughter or your son, your husband or your wife, your father or your mother, whoever is around you, who is in God's workshop, and he needs you as a tool to be in that process. Are we available? You can only be available in the power and the mercy of the Holy Spirit. But if you are, whoa, you will experience the power of God through you. You don't have to do it. He will do it. But he chooses us, normal people, that gave their hearts to Jesus and accept his beautiful sacrifice for us, a new life to be used to build his kingdom. This is Setipan. Setipan is the Wayana name for Stephanus. Stephan, I think. In English, is it Stephan? Stephanus? See? Stephen. That's the one. Well, this is the Wayana name. He's one of the elders of our church at Lawa. And he is available to lead the church. We have a team of elders. He is one of them. And I love to work with him, as with Ipomadi, who is coming with me on this trip. We see a church that is growing and that's taken care of by a team of elders that spend time with the Lord, sharing the word of God with the people in the church, and so forth. Well, some people call him Turtle. Turtle? All the Wayanas have a nickname, and they call him in Wayana Turtle. Why? He is so slow. He walks across the airstrip from where we are living, and if he goes to bathe in the river, I see his family, and I see Setipan. That's how he walks. Incredible. But I can tell you, there were so many situations in the church in the last few years that he was instrumental in God's hand to be used in reaching out to people, into situations, to speak out the truth of God, or to exercise the authority of God as an elder. That I say, wow. If I would look at him from my human flesh perspective, say, he's too slow. No good. Turtle. I get it. I wouldn't work with him. I'd like people that are. But God said, sometimes I need a turtle to do things I want to do thoroughly. Don't all these quick guys that just jump around. I want a guy that goes deeper, and he wants him to be used. I just give you his picture. I love him. I took him with us on a trip to another village, and he was so instrumental, used by the Lord, to teach the people of that village. And why? He is available. He's led by the Holy Spirit. And that's exactly how the Lord works down there, deep in the jungle of Suriname. And right here, same thing. There's no difference. The trees look different. The river is far away. Is there a river around? You have a river. Even a river. Wow. So it's almost the same. More streets. Next, please. Look at yourself. You're part of a church that reaches out to people. And with what tools do you reach out? With God's tools, faith, wisdom, mercy, and power. In all of our lives, the Lord wants us to use us as a tool in his hands, with all the aspects, in all directions. There are many open places in this room. Good. Let them be filled. Who has to fill in these places? People that need to know the Lord. They're living across the streets, everywhere. Who else would he send out? Would he send the neighbor that doesn't come to church to send to his neighbor? Or would one of us be the one that the Lord wants to send out? If you need power, ask him. If you need wisdom, ask him. If you need more mercy, ask him. Or if you are too big, like I am, or too fast, you want to be more like a turtle, ask him. Lord, slow me down. Slow me down. Know yourself and give yourself over to the Lord in all these aspects. And there's just a handful. There's much more. There's much more. Next one. And then you see how the church reaches out in all kind of aspects, in reaching out in mission, in reaching out in just having coffee time with the people of the street, in reaching out with whatever you can think of or whatever the Lord puts in your heart. But take care. There are too many open places. You can have 5 services on a Sunday. Anyway, next one. Jesus came and spoke to his disciples. And what did he say? All authority. All authority. How much is that? All. Is there more? No. Is there more needed? No. All authority. It's a small world, but it's a lot. All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Wow, that's accomplished. He is the one, the only one, and he has it all. What does he say to us? Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, okay, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, there he comes again. I am with you always, even to the end of the age. That's a promise. Would it be true? Or is just this a fairy tale? Is this a slip of the pen? This is true. If it is true, is it true for you? If it's true for you, what about? All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. If you want to experience that, you have to follow it up. And I can tell you, there's no time anymore, but if I would tell you of all the things that I have witnessed, I have seen God working in my and our lives, just following up what he tells me to do. Wow! Are we available as an instrument in God's hand? Amen. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, for how clear it is. How consistent you are speaking and teaching us and leading us, Lord, and how you present yourself, you the Holy One, you the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, today in our midst, here this morning. Lord, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for your spirit, and we thank you, Lord, that you show also this morning again that you are waiting for us to become available. To say, Lord, here I am. Help me, use me, change me, clean me. Lord, to be instrumental in your kingdom. Lord, it's not about how big, how long, how far. It's about, here I am. Use me. And I want to ask you, Lord, to present that in our hearts today. According to your word, Lord. And that you with your Holy Spirit show us the way. Lord, and that's a way that can be miles long, kilometers long. But Lord, show us the first step on that way. And let us and help us, Lord, give us mercy to take that first step today. To make a step in your direction. You're faithful. You're waiting for us. You want to come along with us. You want to teach us. You want to comfort us. And you want to use us. Lord, for the holy name you have, for the glory of your name, and for the building of your kingdom. Here we are, Lord. Thank you. Bless us. In Jesus' name. Amen.